We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all. Yes, back here on a Tuesday for your listening pleasure as we're recapping several things in WWE this past weekend, including Friday Night SmackDown in USA, NXT Halloween Havoc, and last night's Monday Night Raw in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on the rap, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. We're going to have some nice conversations today. And it's going to be another great show.
Yes, and I will be remiss if I don't mention that this is also Crown Jewel Week for WWE. We will sneak in a preview at the very end of this episode because we're not going to try to do like four shows in a row this week. We're going to keep it simple, do a show today, do a show after Crown Jewel, and see ya for our next show on Wednesday, recapping all the things from what you're going to get for next week in WWE. But before we get to that, let's talk about the return of the NBA regular season. And as we're recording this episode right now, distracted Scott Young is watching his LA Lakers pummel, for now, the Phoenix Suns. He's doing like the Stevie Wonder dance. All he needs like is the braids to really kick it. And he's really happy. He's complimentary of the new head coach, JJ Redick. So I don't know how long Zen Scott is going to last, but I'm here for it somewhat.
Listen, the king did what king does. Only royalty can score 16 points in 4 minutes, go 6 for 6 to begin the fourth quarter to spark a 21-0 run. Things we take for granted, greatness on another level. He is the real GOAT. He is God mode at 39, going on 40. It's just a beautiful thing to watch. Shout out to JJ, not Coco Melon, but Mr. Redick, doing a great job. Darvin Ham is over there filling a seat just like the other guy beside him, Doc Rivers. So there are two peas in a pod. Perfect match over there. And we finally got a real coach. So what a difference it makes. Don't have much to say. 3-0, best team in the league right now.
What?
Record says it. The only other team that can compete with us is OKC. So as of right now, yeah, we're the best team in the league.
Look at you. When they go on an 8-game losing streak, we're going to come back here and reassess what you said, because it will happen. They will go streaking in the opposite direction, and I will be championing that whenever that happens, hopefully very soon. But yeah, this is Scott being at his most egregious, as he's using terminology that is reserved for the OTC, and he's trying to apply it to LeBron James, calling him the tribal chief, the head of the table, God mode, greatest on a different level, lies, all lies that's being projected here on the air.
I mean, Jordan at 39, averaged 20. LeBron at 39, averaged 25, 8-8. Took a team to the, you know, to the playoffs. They're just levels to this. We don't have to dive too deep into it, but there's levels to it. And one's kid plays in the NBA and one kid plays 2K. There's just levels to it.
Yes, one kid plays 2K while the other kid's going to go to the G League in about 2 weeks, but I digress.
Hey, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But that boy got an NBA contract, though. He ain't got that G League contract.
For now, you must prove thyself to keep it.
Oh, he'll be good. He'll be straight.
Okay.
He'll be straight.
We'll come back to this.
Like what
well.
I saw in that last preseason game, so I think he'll be all right.
Preseason doesn't count.
Oh, it definitely counts.
For no, the 55th
pick in the draft?
Oh, please.
Definitely counts.
Okay.
Who was the 55th pick last year?
I do not know. You don't know.
Not a clue.
Exactly.
Not a clue. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. He probably being like, man, I'm glad Bronny got drafted the year after me. The 56th pick in the draft is like, God, thank God for Bronny. I don't even know who the number 2 pick was in the draft.
Wow.
And he's probably like, thank God for Bronny.
Well, they have a nice career with the limelight away from them. They're like, have a career that will take people by surprise because of the lack of notoriety. So they'll take the win. That's Let true. Bronny James get the shine for being number 56. 56.
Was he 56?
In my imagination, 56.
Was he 50? I didn't remember. I didn't know if he was 55 or 56.
He was in the 50s. That's all that matters.
He was in the 50s. I think it was 55, but it might have been 56. One of the two.
Yes. One away, like the Price is Right. But hey, I couldn't resist. All right. Enough NBA roasting. It's too early to dive into the standings right now. But as Scott said, the Lakers are 3-0 for now, and they are basically right up there with, to me, the actual best team, Oklahoma City.
OKC looks real good. Watched them the other night. When they get Hartenstein back, they're gonna pose a real threat. They're gonna have enough size to really match up with anybody. And I think them getting that extra bit of body was specifically just in case they run into Joker, or if they get to the finals against Joel.
I agree, and I just love their like team ball mentality. Like, they don't let one person be like the star. They all get the shine, and I love that when they all be a part of the post game interviews. I think it's really cool. So I love that team growing fast. Move them back to Seattle. I said what I said. Move them back to Seattle. Let them be the Supersonics. That team would build a crowd. Just saying. Sorry, OKC fans. Respectfully, just saying. But enough talk of the NBA. Let's talk about not NXT Halloween Havoc yet. I want to stew on that for a moment. I want to briefly talk about some highlights from Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, going down live from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. And the highlight of the show, the main topic of discussion, was the Motor City Machine Guns versus DIY. And the winner will go on to face the Bloodlines, Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, for the WWE Tag Team Championship. Now, we had a feeling that MCMG would win their match, and they did. But we had no idea they would actually compete against the Bloodline that very same night on SmackDown in an impromptu championship match. I was like, okay, so Scott's prediction was like, really sped up by a few weeks, and we got the match it was entertaining. We expected bloodline shenanigans because of what happened to Jimmy Uso and Jay previously on SmackDown and Monday Night Raw, respectively, when Jay lost the IC title due to interference from his other side of the family. And both Usos got payback by super kicking Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Jacob Fatu, Solo Sikoa, and they helped Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley become the new WWE Tag Team Champions. Roman Reigns came out there too to take out Jacob Fatu. And to end the show, we got somewhat of an Usos reunion as Jimmy and Jay stood face to face and they embraced. And Roman was looking like there could be me too joining in on this family hallmark moment, but it's not meant to be yet because you must humble thyself for being an ass to your cousins for the last 2 years.
A lot right there. As far as you got the tag titles, you got the bloodline story continuation. You got the Usos, you got Roman coming out. Looking like a puppy, not knowing exactly what to do.
Not a puppy.
Oh, yeah, puppy. Big dog looking like a puppy. the show went off the air legit like a sitcom. This man, indecisive, as we get the you know, everybody getting their signatures off. I was like, man, we really are on an episodic TV show now. That was as sports entertainment as it gets. But, you know, it is what it is. We know what we're getting. We know the drama is part of it. The Motor City Machine Guns, big moment. Let's see what happens next. Hopefully, you know, there is a plan. Hopefully they have, it's not just going to be them just in the background. They should be featured. We should be making sure that they are a prominent and featured act. So that way they don't just get lost in the shuffle, especially the way you've just debuted them. Let's not forget, and I always reference this tag team specifically, and I know it's not exactly apples to apples, but when American Alpha came up and won the titles immediately, they just got lost and forgotten about. And I don't want that for Motor City. So as long as we make sure they're prominent, important, and a piece of the puzzle going forward, this moment will mean something.
I agree. They should be the anchors of this tag team division, and they should not be bit players in the bloodline storyline or supporting players. They should be a big ace in this story. And you have great tag teams surrounding them, such as DIY and the Street Profits. And I do think that DIY could potentially turn heel very soon. I see Ciampa being more irritated with the losses as of late, and DIY being proud of cheating somewhat to get the wins, especially over Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins as of late as well. So I do sense maybe there's a turn coming, and you can build around this division. And one day soon, when the bloodline business is done, family versus family, you can circle back to Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga, or maybe someday soon the Usos, because listen, they basically facilitated this on SmackDown, and they might want their shot at Sabin and Shelley sometime soon. And that would be a dream match that we never thought we would see ever in a WWE ring, but is very possible now with this crew in WWE winning championship gold. And it speaks to the level of confidence and trust that Paul Levesque has in both guys to say, hey, week three in, you're champs.
Yeah, I agree. And as far as the Usos matchup, I think that's whenever the Usos do reunite, I think there's quite a few. And I know people don't want to hear, but I the best tag team in WWE right now is, in my opinion, is still down in NXT. So until they get called up, we're not going to get the dream matchups that I want, because that's the team that I'm waiting to get called up. And them versus Motor City Machine Guns is the match I specifically still need to see at some point relatively soon.
Me too. That might have been the case before things happened regarding contracts being frozen indefinitely. It felt like plans changed out of the blue. So maybe that will happen down the road. I know who you're talking about. My favorite tag team in WWE as well. who always have a standout performance at a PLE or an NXT TV show. They were sorely missed on Halloween Havoc on Sunday. But I do want to touch on something you said as well regarding Roman Reigns looking like a sad puppy, like Clifford the Big Red Ooze out there looking very sad.
You had a comment about me calling him a sad puppy. You just called this band Clifford the Big Red Ooze. Shout out to Clifford though, because I definitely just bought my son a Clifford from the Clifford book from the book fair. So shout out to Clifford.
Now I must ask the next question because you know I have to do it for the people out there that can relate. Was it the Scholastic Book Fair?
Yeah, definitely Scholastics.
Oh man, let me tell you something about the Scholastic Book Fair. That was when you hoped your parents gave you extra for your allowance just to go buy books because you had the money to buy them. Like, that was my first addiction, Scholastic Book Fair.
Pencils, pens, erasers.
Yes, pens, journals, erasers, the books, all of it. Oh, so I'm glad that your son is experiencing the joys of the Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah, he'll be reading The Big Red Ooze tomorrow night.
It was marinating in my head because you described him being a puppy and I said, well, let's give him the biggest title I can possibly give him. And that dog is big, he's strong, he is a leader, and he is the Big Red Ooze. And he looked very, very sad. And as they ran the credits, as you said, it was giving 90s sitcom. It was giving a cliffhanger of Family Matters when they played the dramatic music before they go to commercial break, but we were left on pause for the next 7 days.
Yeah, it almost felt like it needed a to be continued to be played, or at least a graphic of to be continued, part two next week.
Yes, and then say previously on SmackDown, Roman looks sad as Jimmy and Jay reunite, wondering where is my place in my own family?
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for one of these shows to open up with last time on Monday Night Raw. I'm waiting on one of these.
Yes, we need like a previously with like recap footage of everything that happened. I'll be here for that. But also, let's talk about the whimper of the best of seven series between Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. Game seven, they said. Game seven of this match, of this amazing series of great matches. And we had LA Knight wearing the most as special guest referee, had the belt on, had the vest, the boots, the khakis, all of it, looking like the most decked out, egregious referee ever. And guess how it all ended? The referee went into business for himself and he basically said, fuck both of you. And now he's mad that Nick Aldis says, well, bet, now you defend your championship against both guys at Crown Jewel, and you got the nerve to catch an attitude? Like, dude, I was Corey Graves saying you ruined a great match. How dare you? You, in this situation, are the heel. And I love LA Knight, but that was no excuse, period. It sullied a great feud that was going strong, and we needed a clean finish for Game 7, and we didn't get that. Boo.
Yeah, not much to defend here. That was so I would have been better off if, as soon as the bell rung, LA Knight was like, "Screw both of you!" Literally gave them both the middle finger and just laid them both out. All right, that makes more sense. Instead, he waits until it's clearly an accident where he gets hit, and not buying that. There's just other ways this could have been done. He shouldn't have even been there. He should have just been on the outside, because then at least maybe somebody gets thrown into him. So now it's like, all right, now at least there's a reason. That would have sucked too, but this is just awful. So not good. Triple threat better be great. And then I'm thinking LA Knight loses the title. And when we do get our game seven, it'll be for the title.
Yes, and I got Melo winning the championship if it happens in Saudi.
You think they're going to put a brother over in Saudi?
I think so.
Triple H doesn't see color. So since he's colorblind, I'm going to go with Andrade.
Oh, wow. Even though Andrade is a person of color, too.
But he ain't a person of Carmelo's color. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. I'm weak. But so you're speaking facts.
He gonna look at LA Knight and Andrade and be like,
okay.
Okay. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Carmelo Anthony or Carmelo Hayes.
Wow.
One. They just show Melo on the screen.
Okay. Yeah. Distractions already off top.
You're right.
As I said, this would happen.
You're right. But yeah. So I'm going to go with Andrade.
Okay. Well, look at us giving away our first prediction. So you're going with Andrade. I'm saying Melo is going to win because for once, Triple H will, in fact, see color and it will make sense. I don't think LA Knight's walking away. I think he's been a good champion. He's had good matches on TV, elevated the belt and himself. But I think it's time for him to drop it to one of these two guys. And then game seven, the actual game seven for the championship with time on television will be the way to go, possibly heading into Survivor Series next month. But let's get to something we talked about extensively during last week's show, which was what we thought was going to happen involving Bianca Belair, Jade, Lash Legend, Jakara Jackson, Io Sky, and Kairi Sane alongside Chelsea Green and Piper Nevin. Well, they said, well, we're going to give you guys a fatal four-way match for the women's tag team titles at Crown Jewel. So Triple H, Paul Levesque, is breaking his five-match only rule for a PLE not entitled The Big Four. So I say growth, and I'll be bold to say this could be a show stealer.
That I agree with you. That is bold. I do agree with you on that part. This being the show stealer is a bold prediction. I don't have a lot of faith in this match. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I don't know, man. I think you just got a lot going on with four teams. I'm not a big fan of them in the men's side because I think they just have a lot going on. And I don't know who in this match. I don't know. Let me not sleep on it. I hope I'm wrong. I'm ready to eat my crow on this one. But the four-way's fine. Yeah, I'm happy about the four-way because it at least showed they had a plan for Lash and Jakara. But outside of that, not really looking forward to it.
I got some crow in the oven. I say it could be sneaky good because I'm thinking about the talent in the ring. You got Bianca, who's amazing. You got Io Sky, who's incredible as well. You got Kairi Sane, a seasoned vet. You got Piper Nevin, who's highly underrated in the ring. Chelsea Green, she knows what she's doing out there as well. She's highly entertaining. And then you have Lash and Jakara, who's still learning, but you're going to be in the ring with a bunch of vets. Jade is still learning too, and she's good for her power spots and hot tag. So I think that you have the makings of great moments in this match that will be based on power and agility, that you're going to see Lash and Bianca and Jade hoss up people during this match. Piper is going to be able to do some great things, and there's going to be movement created by Io and Kairi alongside Chelsea. I think if the match layout is good, it could be the makings of a very good match that will actually liven up that Saudi crowd, who've been more receptive to women's matches as of late every time they have a PLE there. But I think you have the ingredients of something that can work if it's laid out and booked properly.
I'm ready. I'll come in on an empty stomach.
And I will feed you humble pie and crow and a glass of milk because I'm all about nutrition.
I'll pass on the milk. Just give me a glass of water.
Now, do you like tap water or do you like a specific brand of bottled water?
I mean, if I get to choose my bottle of water, I'm going to get with that Fiji all day.
Okay.
But if I'm cool with the filter.
Okay. I'm going to get you some Brita water then.
That's fine.
That's cool. I would never give you Dasani. That water is disgusting. So.
Disgusting is a strong word.
It is. It is toilet water. Yes, I said what I said.
All right. All right. That plastic water.
Yes, you're right. Plastic toilet water, courtesy of Coca-Cola, my hometown that produces that. But hey, tap water Brita style is the best, I tell you. All right. So enough talk about SmackDown. Let's focus on what we've been trying to avoid for a little bit now, which is NXT Halloween Havoc going down live in Hershey, Pennsylvania at the Giant Center this past Sunday on Peacock. Now, I was initially excited about the card, and then the show happened and the crowd was dry. I don't do dry crowds that are not very enthusiastic, but then the card itself wasn't lending itself to be exciting. It was kind of there, like a thrown together special you could have saw on the CW, in all honesty. Could have been a 2-hour CW special, and that would have been perfectly fine. But I think a lesson needs to be learned regarding how they present their PLEs moving forward. Unless it's a stand and deliver, or you're directly in conjunction with a SummerSlam or a Money in the Bank show like they did with Heatwave, I believe it is best to run smaller, intimate venues that really caters to the true NXT fan. Because that crowd, to me, was not an NXT crowd that really felt like NXT, if that makes sense.
It does. But I think, me personally, I think it's more so to the first thing that you, well, one of the first things that you said, and that the matches that they got just weren't up to par. Like, I mean, I think they were hot for the first match. Like, I think they were up for Oba and Tony. Like, I think they were up for that. Right after that, once you see a hardcore match and then you see two more hardcore matches, it's like, all right, what are we doing? I don't know. You maybe you're right. Maybe it is something to that as far as the intimacy of the venues and whatnot. But I just think, when you're not given something to really get excited about, especially when you are held to a bit of a standard, you know, you can say what you want about them, what you think about them as a brand. They put on good shows on PLEs and you're held to a standard. So they just didn't hit that standard tonight.
Yeah.
Or last time.
Yeah, it's been the last couple of shows that the standard hasn't been met. And they did run two arenas in Denver and in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And I'm thinking to myself, the card wasn't the best for both. Venue, nice big size. Crowd was so-so as well. Kind of disconnected. If you move it to a different venue with a better card, energy would be different. The card would be better. Just think the booking has to be a bit stronger across the board to make these shows stand out. Heatwave still is their best show they produced this year by far.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
But let's talk about some highlights, which was Opa Femi versus Tony D'Angelo in a tables, ladders, and scares match for the North American Championship. Scott thought that Opa was going to win the title back. I thought so too, because I was expecting maybe a Nikita Lyons cameo to take out Rizzo. That did not happen. Instead, Tony's entire family made the save for him, and he retained the championship spine buster through a table. I thought the finish was overbooked. The match was very good, but it was not as good as what they did during week two of NXT in St. Louis. I just thought this match had his spots of being really cool. I loved the athleticism of Opa Femi leapfrogging over Tony D and then delivering that elbow shot through the table. That was great. But otherwise, I thought the match was overbooked. And the overbooking could have happened in another match later in the show that would have made way more sense than this.
I thought the match was backwards. I thought if a family was going to be introduced, that would, the way they did it with Tony D, that's how you should have done it with Nikita Lyons. And I can't think of the names of the tag team that she was talking to on NXT. That was the way to do it. Instead, you had all the baby faces gang up on the big heel. So I thought the booking of it was completely backwards, kind of did away all the good work that was put into that match. It just, everything about it was completely backwards. So the match was good. The work was good. The effort was there. I just thought the booking did them no favors.
I agree. The match was good. The booking was a choice, and I'll get to where the interference would have been welcomed later on during this review. But on a scale of 1 to 5, whatever you want to call them, Scott, your ranking for this match.
Oh, I'm going to give it a... I just thought the booking was just so backwards. It was baffling. I'm going to give it 3.5 members of a family.
Wow.
give it 3.5 members of a family. Somebody's legs is cut off. They cut somebody's legs off in this.
So there's like a lost family member of the D'Angelo crew just missing a limb somewhere in the Hudson, most likely.
Yeah, somewhere beside pennies.
Not pennies. Dude, wait a minute. Like, we're not going to do dimes like that. Pennies.
First of all, I thought his name was Stax.
Well, listen, he ain't Stax no more. He's still here. But he ain't Stax to me. Stax means you stacking money. That man hasn't stacked nothing.
Nah, he pennies, man. He pennies.
I will go 3 spine busters through a table for this match. It was fine. Not as great as the title change a couple of weeks ago. Too much interference for me. It was a nice way to start the show, but choices. Opa Femi is going to be A-okay, though. He is primed for a major championship on NXT very soon. Do not call him up to the main roster yet. It's not time. I know they're tempted, but no.
I would probably... You don't have to call him up, but I will say this. While he doesn't have the title, why not have him throw a couple spots on Monday Night Raw, on a SmackDown? He can be presented as an NXT star, just looking for something different. Maybe have him destroy the NXT locker room. And he's like, you know, I just can't do it. I'm going crazy. She's like, well, go somewhere. Go to Raw. Go to some, you know, something like that. Have him go up there and have a couple matches. Have him in the Rumble dominate. And then you bring him back to NXT full time and let him just run through the roster on his way to Trick.
I'm down for that. I also love the idea of Opa versus Sheamus. That'd be glorious.
That's a great match.
Oh my goodness.
And he does really well with big men. He's shown that he can work really well with big men. The only question I would have with Sheamus, he's never wrestled, at least that I can think of, anyone in NXT that's going to be nearly as physical as Sheamus. Like, I don't think he's been through a match as grueling as what Sheamus will put that man through.
Yeah, he'll go through a lot of stuff. He'll have a life-changing experience against Sheamus. I think two guys will, like, actually change his life. It would be Sheamus and Drew McIntyre.
I would throw Kaiser in there. I think Kaiser or Gunther would definitely.
Oh, yes. Gunther would absolutely change not only his life, but his entire world perspective.
He'd just be like, whoa. All right. Hold on.
Hey. Did I make the right choice in life, you know what, to be this?
You know what, Trick? Let me stay down here.
Yes. Hey,
actually, let me holler at you instead.
And don't let Ilya Dragunov get a hold of him, because, Lord. Whew.
Dragging off. Forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
Can't wait for him to come back. But yeah, Oba's an exciting prospect. There's a lot you could do with him. I do agree. I think he needs a nice monster run on NXT. There's no reason to rush him out anywhere. If anything, I would treat these guys like college kids. Keep them there 4 years if you can.
Absolutely. And hey, why not? I know Braun might be older by then, but Braun and Oba would be fun too, honestly. So
there's a ton of whenever he does get called up, there is a ton of great matchups. It's a huge missed opportunity if he's not in the Royal Rumble. Way too many face-offs that to be had. Just too many. He's a real blue chip prospect. He's a can't miss guy. If you blow him, you did it on purpose, or you should be fired.
Yes, agreed. And we have the commentary from a few weeks ago calling out Paul Levesque. If this does not bear fruit in the next 2 to 3 years, we're looking at you sideways. That's all I got to say. But let's move on to my favorite match on the show, which was a tag between Julia and Stephanie Vaquer versus Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. I really enjoyed this match, but I'm telling you right now that I love Julia. I love her down. But Stephanie Vaquer, oh, she's got it. She was impressive in this match. I loved her chemistry with Roxanne Perez. The transitions, the counters, all of that was so smooth. Her offense is a hybrid of, like, I'm all technique, but I can go up top and kill it too. She was a standout in this match. And Cora held her own. I thought this was her best performance outside of what she did against Natty a couple of years ago in NXT, when she was still finding her way as a wrestler and a performer. Really good tag team match, and surprised that Stephanie got the pin on Roxanne Perez. Probably puts her in line for a title shot down the road. Really great tag team match, but Stephanie Vaquer, they got something with her. And I think that this was a sneaky, great signing by WWE.
Yeah, easily best match of the night, not even close. And Stephanie, and I don't know if this is intentional, and I don't know what the story is, but I know what the story really could be, because the way Stephanie is kind of carrying herself, and if, you know, she got the pin on Roxanne, so she's already done one thing that Julia couldn't do. If she were to beat Roxanne for that title, I think you have yourself your top feud right there with Roxanne and Julia becoming your number one heel, because it's an easy story of her just being jealous and saying, you know, you did something I couldn't do. Why couldn't I be the one to do it? I didn't bring you here to take that title. That was supposed to be mine. So I'm hoping that's what the goal is, because Stephanie has clearly outshone Julia in both showings. Even like Stephanie's quick appearance was like, wow, let's talk about Stephanie. Stephanie, I hope this is all done intentionally to set up this Julia heel turn down the road, because I think that should be arguably your show closing main event of Stand and Deliver.
Absolutely. And I got stars and rankings ready to go. I ain't pushing the full five yet, but 4.5 is pretty strong, and maybe 3/4 up in there too. Like, that match, when it happens, for a championship, is going to be special. And Stephanie has been incredible. Like, her two appearances in the ring have been so good. And I saw her match against Mercedes back at Forbidden Door. She's the truth. And I'm really impressed by her. And after the match was over, We had Zarya appear to scare everybody. And that was not her only appearance on the show, but I really enjoyed this tag team match. Easily the best thing on this show. I will go for Vicares.
Easily. I'm definitely going. I'm gonna go four as well. Easily match of the night, and the finish was great. I think Stephanie's got one of the best hot tags. I love her springboard from the bottom to the top rope. That's that kind of that Io Sky style. So yeah, I love her. Everything about her is fantastic.
Yeah, the finisher was sweet too, smooth and perfect. Like, yes, serve. Now, after this great match, the show, I think, took a turn, and we never quite recovered. So our next match was an ambulance match between Andre Chase and Rich Holland. The lesson of the day, Rich Holland has a ceiling, and that ceiling is Chase U and being the bit heel of the week for that feud. And we had a match, and it was fine. Andre Chase is one of the best workers they have in NXT. Rich Holland, despite his improvement as a character, is not engaging as a wrestler. I was not engaged by this match. Things happen. The biggest pop this match got was a pumpkin. That was the biggest cheer of the night, was a pumpkin spot. Otherwise, dry. And as I alluded to earlier, we had all the interference from the D'Angelo family. Where was Thea? Where was Duke? Where was Riley to justify interference for this match in an ambulance match, which would have been legal? And the other thing, why in the hell did Andre Chase lose to Ridge Holland, of all people? Please.
So, like I said, a lot of backwards booking. This was one of those things. It's fine. And I don't, you know, the Ridge thing, I get what they're doing. They're setting him up. Now he's, you know, he's got a nice, they're setting him up for the match for the ECW arena. But it just, the booking didn't help. Them having another hardcore match didn't help. Yeah, I know it was an ambulance match, but did this really call for an ambulance match? You know, like, I don't know. It is what it is. I give this one diploma.
Wow. One diploma. I'll give it one GED.
Holy God.
I'm going to take it one step below.
The university. It can't even give out GEDs.
One certificate then.
Okay. Something. All right. It can give out certificates. You have to have a GED to get into Chase U. You giving them something you have to have to even get there.
Well, listen, Scott, they lost their accreditation recently and they had to go back to being a high school. It's not Chase U, it's Chase High. It's Chase High.
Well, they did go to the CW, so that's
yes, they did. Yes, you actually have to go down to like at least freshman, sophomore-ish things here. Borderline senior high school situation. So
it Raw makes and SmackDown sense. are the spinoffs.
Yes, they are.
It's when you grow up.
Yes, when you graduate to the big leagues. So yeah, this match didn't do much for me. I did not like it, but not as much as I did not like this next match. So Kalani Jordan, who was a surprise winner of the inaugural Women's North America Championship, who's been a very good champion, has defended her championship with pride and honor and has some great matches along the way. So we had a spin the wheel, make the deal match. And well, yeah, we did have that. And it landed on Spinner's Choice. So we had to wait until the actual broadcast to find out what kind of match Kalani was having. So she would face all three members of Fader Influence in a gauntlet match. She goes to Jasmine Nix, followed by JC Jane, and finally Fallon Henley would be the last opponent for Kalani. With all due respect, why couldn't we just do Kalani versus Fallon for the championship? Straight up match. The two best people in this match, give them 10, 12 minutes, put on a show, still do your interference, still do the title change, and I will accept this. But three matches, two of them were so-so. The last one was chock full of interference. Didn't amount to much to me. It was fine. It was all about Zarya coming out there again to spook everybody and actually get physical by going after Fader Influence, whooping ass and scaring everybody. And her debut match will be on Tuesday's NXT. But this match, I thought it was a flat way for Kalani to lose her championship. But hey, good for Fader Influence being taken seriously now with the championship.
There's not much to really say about this. Clipped Kalani, clipped her legs from under her. I get it, though. You wanted to put this title on some heels for the new big, she's not a big bad, but the new big monster to come in and destroy. But I actually think it's a smart move by the heels to run the gauntlet, but it just, I don't know. You make Kalani, not a fan. So this is two matches in a row. So now, you know, the crowd is losing interest. They've already lost it. Chase U didn't have it. I'm sure they were waiting on somebody to come out and save the day. I still can't believe Duke Cousin wasn't waiting in that ambulance. Mm-hmm. And now you got this match right here. I don't know. I would have rather Zarai just destroy Fatal Influence, and then her take the spot and just go from there. But it is what it is. This gets one Toxic Attraction ripoff from me.
Oh boy, I gotta agree. I have to co-sign on that. Zarya should have been the one, honestly, in the match to win. If you want to make an impression night one, have her be Kalani for the championship. Would have worked for me. But hey, they went in this direction. Happy for Fallon Henley. Would prefer another way for her to win this match. Honorary cheddar biscuits for her as well. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. Fader Influence, Toxic Attraction 2.0. They're getting the push. We'll see for how long. At least they have credibility now for a bit with the championship in the crew. And now it is time for the main event of Halloween Havoc, the Devil's Playground between Trick Williams versus All Ego Ethan Page for the NXT Championship. As I predicted on this show last week, All Ego talked a big game, talked all that stuff about blood, about sweat, tears, saying he gonna put Trick through something. He ain't never experienced kind of pain he was going to put him through. What I got was a bunch of talk, and I got absolutely nothing. I didn't get anything hardcore. I didn't get anything uber violent. I knew he was talking cap shit, and he couldn't back it up. I sat there, I waited. Move me, compel me, show me you was going to pull something out of Trick in terms of viciousness. Didn't do it. All talk, no action. You were so long-winded in that promo last Tuesday about all the things you were going to do, even made a diss track about it, and you still came up short. You under-delivered what you said you was going to do, as I said you was going to do, and you let me down as I knew you would. So I'm not surprised by this. Trick won. Good for him. I give this match one tombstone.
I didn't hate it as much as you did. I didn't particularly love it. I'm a fan of Ethan Page. I like what he brings to the table, and I hope whenever, you know, Trick does get the move up, I hope Ego stays in the main event. Obviously, he's still going to be involved, but I do want them separated. I think the North American title will be a nice one for him to transition to, but the match was fine. I mean, you called it. You knew there wasn't going to be able to live up to the hype that it tried to set itself up for. And, you know, it is what it is. This is what happens when you have three hardcore matches, and the best one is the very first one you see in the night. So I'm going to give it two tricks.
Two tricks out of five. I gave it one tombstone out of five. And then at the end of the show, Ridge Holland attacks Trick Williams because Ridge got to get a push. Oh, joy. And Ego joins in too. And then of all people in the year 2024, Bubba Ray Dudley, who is doing busted open commentary in the crowd during this show, gets in the ring to save the day. And this is a very obvious angle alert for the ECW Arena special for the C-Dub after election night on NXT. I understand it. I get it. It's clever. I still hated it.
I don't hate it. I don't hate Bubba Ray. It's gonna be 8 minutes. Nice little CW special. It'll be fine. And honestly, as bad as this show was, it was better than what we were getting. So it is what it is. He's gonna fit perfectly in the ECW arena. He still cuts a good promo, and Trick's gonna do all the heavy lifting. All Bubba's got to do is be able to hold somebody's legs for Trick to do the headbutt to the groin and catch somebody in a cutter. All Bubba needs to do. So I think he'll be fine.
He got the basics covered. Do the bare minimum, and we're good to go. That play the greatest hits and maybe do a 3D out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm here for that. But yeah, angle alert in every sense, setting things up for that special on the CW after Election Day from the CW Arena, the 2300 building. Should be a fun atmosphere that night with Don Marie being back as well as a special guest referee for the Jada Parker and Lola Vice matchup, which will be a hardcore match.
Yeah, and aren't we getting a casket match too?
Yes. Like
Wendy Chu and Jasmine Nix. Tatum Paxley.
Which could actually be sneaky good if it's not stupidly booked, but it's NXT. Because Wendy and Tatum are good wrestlers.
Yeah.
They can rise above this potentially. We'll see. And it actually might be better than anything on the card outside of the tag match and Oba and Tony D.
They should have had this on TNA.
I agree. Rosemary could have been there as well to spice things up, but we'll see where it goes. And that was NXT Halloween Havoc, Scott. So I was a bit kinder in my written review of the show because I really enjoyed two matches and I thought that would, you know, kind of supplement the shit. But your final score for this show on a scale of 1 to 10 tiers.
Oh man, I'm gonna give it a 4.5 pumpkins.
4.5 pumpkins. All right. So in the written review, I gave it a B-. As I talk about the show, C-.
That's a terrible. That is one of the worst B-minuses I've ever heard reviewed.
Yes, but like tag match was so good.
It was great.
It was really great. I grade on the curve. Like that match is so great. And then Oba and Tony D had a great opener despite all the overbooking of it all. So I was forgiving. So I gave it a B-. But as I talk about the show, C-, 4.5 pumpkins as well. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not even worth the average show. And I'm gonna be honest with you. Only two of these pumpkins are actually carved. So you know, and the half pumpkin is green. It is what it is. This is what we're working
with. Not a rotting, dying pumpkin. Not the discounted pumpkin after Halloween. We got to get rid of them.
These are the ones that they're just giving away at the end. Like, look, I ain't got no use for them. I don't even eat pumpkin pie. So here you go. Take them.
10 for a dollar.
10 for free.
Wow. Not 10 for free. Now, no retailer's going to give you free pumpkins. You're going to pay something. A little something.
You just got to find the right one. You got to find the one that went to the pumpkin patch and stole the pumpkins. And you got to go find Robin Hood of the pumpkin patch. He'll give them away for free.
Oh my gosh. Not Robin Hood of the pumpkin patch. Giving to the pumpkin eaters out there. All right. Well, let's cap things off with Monday Night Raw going down from the same building at the Giant Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania. They were a bit better tonight. Dry in spots as well. But we kick things off with Jey Uso coming out to talk about that family business, talk about what happened on SmackDown. And he wanted to talk to somebody directly about what went down. And he called out Jimmy. Jimmy comes out there. And Jimmy says, thank you, Uso, for being there for me. And hey, we're good now. We're back together. We're family. And Jey says, oh, not so fast. We still got some stuff to work through. But the good news is, after all these years, they're not confusing us anymore. I'm main event Jey Uso. You're Jimmy. I'm Uso. I won this championship on my own as an Intercontinental Championship. And I did that for me, by myself, without my family. So I'm good. I have proven my point. So now we got to prove ours. We're not going to be side chicks. We're not going to be side pieces. We're not going to be yes men. We're going to be people in this family who are equals, who carry their own weight equally, if we're going to bring back the Usos as a tag team, as a brotherhood. And Jimmy was here for that. We had the Bloodline come out there solo, issuing orders to Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa to go after the Usos alongside Jacob Fatu. They fought them all off, thankfully, and they stood tall as Adam Pearce had the nerve to call Nick Aldis and say, get your show together when your show is never together.
Soft. And that's your guy. Adam Pearce.
I blame him, but he's doing the most.
This guy had the nerve. First of all, you had the nerve to go and call the principal. Like, you too old for that. Way too. And secondly, that's why I don't even answer phone calls as it is. You could have sent that in a text. You could have texted that to me. Hey, what you guys doing here? I don't know. Well, get him in line. Okay. That'd have been done. 5 minutes. That's just a text. No need to call me. We're running on my minutes. Okay. Secondly, promo was real good. I thought this was nice. Crowd was with it. Jey definitely feels levels above Jimmy. Jimmy is a clown, but I mean, in the best way possible, he's just Jimmy. And I look forward to the Uso reunion.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Some healing has to take place. And Jimmy says, let's talk to Roman on Friday. Let's have a family meeting. Let's discuss what we can do to bring the family back together. And Jey is receptive towards that. And then we get some really good storytelling later in the show involving Sami Zayn and Jimmy having like that kind of side eye at Sami, and Sami telling Jey that, dude, you made it on your own. You don't need your family. Like, this guy Roman gaslit you for years, thinking you were lesser than, thinking that you were nothing more than a right-hand man and not a main eventer. And now you made it on your own. And I want you to remember that. You don't have to go back and fight with your family. You can let this be. And then Jey tells Sami, you're not family. Like, oh boy. So that starts planting the seeds for the honorary Uso for him to be family very soon. But spoiler alert, as Jimmy offered his perspective and say, let me talk to Sami. Let me see if I can smooth things over. So as he tries to talk to Samuel, Samuel's in the parking lot talking to Solo about what? Uncertain. But because of that, Jimmy and Jey says, well, as you can see, we're on our own.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Solo is a part of the family. Sami was a part. And you know, Jay talked about family. Well, maybe Sammy went to talk to family, because Solo, Sammy, I mean, that was the unit, you know. That's Sammy and they all bonded. So to me, this comes off, if anything, this comes off as Jimmy being real manipulative. Because I don't think Sammy, if anything, is just listening to Solo, giving him that benefit of the doubt. Just taking the chat the same way he took the chat with Jay when Jay was on the way out. Just see what's up. And this comes off to me as Jay being the one that's still manipulative. I don't know where we're going with it. And I like it that way. I like not knowing what's going on. So I think they've done a good job with that. Nice little misdirection here, and we'll see where it leads.
Me too. I like the twist of this. And as you said, hey, Solo and Sammy, we're family too. And maybe he's trying to smooth things over, trying to say, hey, convince your brother to stay out of this. Protect your older brother, little brother. So I like it. Now, eventually, Sam's going to get stumped by the bloodline, and that's going to lead to Jimmy and Jay making the save eventually. But I'm happy to see this development that is very interesting on its face, which will bring us to a nice reunion down the road, just in time for Survivor Series, as we get to the best match of the night, which was Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser. These guys hit really hard, and they were physical and bruising, and Ludwig was delivering more shots than Sheamus, and Sheamus was fired up, went right back at it. Love the physicality. These guys always work great together. They bring a level of physicality that I greatly appreciate, and the closing sequence is basically Ludwig hitting Sheamus and Sheamus hitting back with a knee strike and a brogue out of nowhere for the 1-2-3. Best match on the show by far. Highly physical, great crowd reaction, and Sheamus continues to deliver when it counts most.
Yeah, this is a really strong match. Hopefully we are building towards a Sheamus-Gunther match for that World Heavyweight title, because we know what we're getting with that. And yeah, this was best match for WWE of the weekend. I put it right up there with the tag match. Maybe not better, but it's right there with the tag match. The physicality was great, and this felt more hardcore than any of the Halloween theme matches we saw outside of the scares.
Yeah, I agree, because that was some stiff shots in that match for sure. Loved it. Then we had on the show Seth Rollins coming out, all about that Bronson Reed business, and this dude had a reveal, Scott. He had a leather blue jacket underneath a leather blue jacket to whoop ass backstage to Bronson Reed. They fought in the production area. We had a curb stomp on a car by Seth to Bronson. Bronson just said, that's fun. Bounced right back. They fought in the truck. And then Bronson delivers a Death Valley driver to Seth through a table backstage. And then my favorite GM, sarcasm here, Adam Pearce says, get the medics. Where were you? Where was security? Where was staff for all of this?
Soft. Because you notice he waited until after everything was done. I mean, the beatdown was good. This definitely wasn't anywhere near as good as what Braun and Bronson and Braun were putting on, but it was fine. But absolutely the highlight was absolutely the blue suit underneath the blue suit. I just wish he had on his blue suede shoes.
Me too. Try to be funny, but me too.
It was. He better not have worn no blue suede shoes.
He better not.
Yeah, he better not have worn no blue suede shoes, okay? He'll tell you that.
No. All right. Then we had a triple threat match between the War Raiders, the New Day, and Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. The winner will face Finn Balor and JD McDonagh for the World Tag Team titles at a date to be determined. This match, yeah, that's what's those on the line here.
Those exist.
Those exist. You know, those tag team titles are still a thing. They haven't been defended in months. They've only been defended once on TV since they won the titles over the summer. This is just a terrible run by the Judgment Day here. Just absolute incompetence in terms of booking. The match was perfectly fine. It was more about the New Day having some miscommunication issues. Xavier was trying to be the guy leading the charge as the quarterback, as QB1, running the plays and letting Kofi be the supporting guy out there. And he got too greedy, going for a dive on the outside that backfired. And that allowed Ray and Dragon Lee to take advantage until Chad Gable clips Ray from hitting a 619 on Kofi, hits an ankle lock on him, and that allows a war. That allows the War Raiders to take out Kofi to win the match. And now they will face JD McDonagh and Finn Balor for those tag team titles.
I think the right team won. I don't know if we needed a triple threat match. I feel like there's some form of a triple threat match on WWE TV every single week. So I don't know if we needed a triple threat to get here, but here we are. Again, I just... What's wrong with just having a straight up singles or just regular tag team match, man? I don't get it. You just put Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio together, and you know they're not even taking the dub here. A lot of questionable stuff, but if the War Raiders don't take those titles off of Judgment Day, it's kind of like, what are we doing? But on the other end, American Made versus Dragon Lee and Rey should be fun, but it looks like it could be. Who does Chad go after, Rey Mysterio singles wise? And then does that mean Dragon Lee and who go after, you know, American Made? So we got MAGA versus the LWO.
I dig it. Nice side feud for right now. And I think that Rey and Chad work great together. I do believe that. And some good combinations could be coming up, LWO versus American Made. They could actually ball out if given the opportunity to have time on TV. Could be a very nice television feud as one of these teams could be primed for a future shot at those tag team titles before the end of this year. And now it is time to talk about where the hell was Bron Breakker last night as the new Intercontinental Champion. Where was he? He was unaccounted for, missing. Where was he?
Probably doing some math with his uncle.
Wow.
Either that or the dog pound, one of the two.
Dog pound doing math.
With his uncle. Shout out to Scotty.
Yes, doing AP math. Let's just go there.
Were they working on the GED to get back in the Chase U?
Bronze above that.
Okay.
Got his degree from Kennesaw State. He's okay. A real accredited university in Georgia.
True that. You don't have to take shots at Chase U.
I'm just saying, like, Chase U has lost some points with me in recent weeks because they couldn't get their papers together. And hopefully they get it together very soon. But now it is time for the most obscure main event of the night, which was Damian Priest versus Dominic Mysterio. And at this moment, I had
for a title shot.
For a title shot. For a future shot of for a Dominic Mysterio future championship opportunity. Let's use that WWE lingo language, shall we? And I thought to myself, normally I don't ask this question about someone. Was Paul Levesque drunk when he made this the main event of Monday Night Raw? Like, so you thought it was Yankees Dodgers. Well, no need to try. So Steelers on Monday night against the Giants. One team has a winning record. One does not. But does it really matter? No. But I'm just going to throw in the towel and deliver this as our main event. What?
And so, I don't know, man, especially when you kind of hyped it up as a former world champion and you had like you telling me y'all couldn't get Goldberg in here for 3 minutes. I couldn't get a Goldberg special. Instead, I got a 15-minute Damian Priest Dominic Mysterio match that no one asked for. Yeah, it is what it is. This is where we're at. Goldberg was right there. Clearly, he wasn't right there, but he could have been right there, and we could have cut 7 minutes off of that. And honestly, we could have let Sheamus and Ludwig have the first half hour of the show, or the second half hour of the first hour. But it is what it is. Instead, we got Dominic Mysterio, who's earned a world heavyweight title shot. Why? I don't know. But Dominic Mysterio is now your new number one contender.
Yes, by rolling up Damian Priest and grabbing the pants for the victory. That actually happened. That was a booking decision that actually happened on this show. And I have to ask again, was Paul Levesque drunk? I don't know. But choices, because Judgment Day interfered and now Dirty Dom is like in a prime spot in a world championship match down the road. Priest got the receipt back, but going at the Dom and Judgment Day to end the show. But yeah, this was definitely a choice and not a good one. And here's another question, Scott. So they brought the big gaudy Saudi belt to Hershey, Pennsylvania. For who? Because no one was there to see the belt. The belt never made it to ringside. They flew this fucking gaudy, expensive belt over here for what? It walked through security doors for no reason. Cody wasn't on the show. Gunther was not on the show. Liv was there. Nia was not. They did not even hype their match for this championship. The least hype match to be the crown jewel champion. They brought this expensive, gaudy belt to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and it was not displayed at all. It walked through a door. That's all that happened last night. Get out of here.
Hey, I'll tell you this much, though. We at least know this belt exists. We're not still sure if Braun Strowman's greatest Royal Rumble belt still exists or if they had to pawn that off to make this one. So they at least we know did. We got one left.
Yes, they pawned it off. Like, that was the beginning stages of this money. And now this is a belt in its final form with money.
It literally got cashed in.
Yes, it did. For a bigger belt with more diamonds and gold. Good Lord. But yeah, it made a trip that no one got to see the belt last night. It walked through the doors, never to be seen or heard from again.
It's like Travis Kelce and women. They just upgraded.
Wow. Did he though?
Yeah. I heard an interview and she had the nerve to say, "Do I look like I should be paying bills?" And my first thought was, yeah. Well, Travis looked at you and said, "I'll pay her bills instead."
Wow.
Because Taylor don't need to pay no bills, but I bet you Travis is paying some.
Yes, he is. Definitely so.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, that's an upgrade. You with somebody, you ain't got to worry about no bills or have to worry about her having the nerve to be like, "I don't look like I should be paying bills." That's an upgrade. And I don't even like Taylor.
Life lessons with Sky Young.
Say it, man. Save yourself some stress.
That was unexpected life advice we just got here.
You're right. I'm sorry. Complete side tangent. Sorry.
Loved it. Now I know your perspective on the opposite sex when it comes to that particular area.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. Shout out to Travis. Mm.
I don't shout out stormtroopers, but I digress.
Touche. Because they don't ever hit their target.
No. And it all came at a cost. His looks have gone horribly, horribly wrong.
That's what happens when you get off steroids.
Ooh. Now, see, I did not level that accusation. The thoughts and views of Scott Young does not reflect my views on the rap. I want to say that right now for the record.
They all me. They on me. Shout out to you, man. Just because you wrote it up don't mean you can't make good life decisions. And you made a good life decision. And she got you off the roids.
Wow. All right. On that note, let's briefly dive into Crown Jewel, because how can I possibly pivot after this? So at last look, we have 6 matches on this card, I think, which is remarkable. And
it's because it's a WrestleMania, you know, yeah. It's their WrestleMania. And he's like, oh, well, y'all paying me a good amount of money. Yes. You know what? I throw your bone.
Saudi princess, I demand 6 matches. Okay. I demand it. So let me pull up the card. We already kind of gave our idea of what was going to happen in a couple of matches. No need to go there. We already talked about potentially Andrade and or Carmella walking out as the brand new United States champion. We'll see how that goes on Saturday, November
2nd. We both agree that LA Knight's losing.
Oh, for sure. So that's a sure thing from us. Will it happen? I don't know. But I think that. Yeah, but I take it back. We actually have 7 matches. 7, not 6. 7.
They're starting at 1 p.m. here. Is it at 1 p.m.?
It's 1 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah. We can give them 7 matches. We're starting at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll get out by 4 or 4:30-ish.
5.
Maybe 5, let's be fair. Yeah. All right. So on tap is... in no particular order, Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed. After all of this carnage, they're going to have a straight up match? Really?
I will say this. Don't be surprised if there's shenanigans. Let's not forget that Seth Rollins is known to have a match with somebody or be advertised for a match, and then it turns into an all-out brawl and they don't have the match. They did this with Riddle, and then they ended up extending it to the next month and having that match there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have the match. They just have this extended brawl where maybe Seth Rollins ends up on top, standing tall at the end. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what we get here.
Yeah, strong possibility. We'll see how it goes. Looking forward to the matchup. Should be very physical and fun between both guys. And I got Seth winning. But I have the right to be surprised, just in case. Also on tap.
I'll take Bronson with the upset if the match happens, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a strong possibility. You want to push him, you do it. And you talk about, like, Seth's limited work schedule this year in terms of matches. Has not had a lot of them due to injuries. So that could be a factor as well heading into Saturday's PLE. As we get to another match, in no particular order, Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens.
Got to go KO. Building them up, building them strong, and he needs this victory right here. I would be shocked if Randy Orton wins. And if Randy Orton does win, Kevin Owens absolutely destroys him after the match.
I think so, too. It's going to be really, really, really gnarly. I believe that. And that's going to build to a lot of stuff heading into when he circles back to Cody. And wondering what he would do when Sammy rejoins the bloodline too. It's going to be a very angry guy walking around WWE with lots of axes to grind and revenge to dish out for sure. But I got Kevin Owens winning this match on Saturday. Then we have on tap in no particular order, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair versus Damage Controls, Kairi Sane and Io Sky versus Metaphors, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson versus Chelsea Green and Piper Nevin in a fatal four-way tag team match for the women's tag team titles. I said this could steal the show in terms of how the match is potentially laid out and time, but I still have Jade and Bianca walking out as champion.
I think that's the safe bet. I think that's the smart money. I'm going to go with the... Man. It's tempting. I almost want to go with the NXT upstarts and shock the world, but I'll stick with Jade and Bianca.
All right. I like upsets too, but I'm sticking with this steady hand that's been anchoring this division this year. Got the titles back recently. Don't foresee a title change just yet. Could be a sneaky good match if given time on the card. As we get to our next matchup, which is Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax in a singles match for the inaugural WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship. I got Nia Jax winning easily.
Easily. I got Liv Morgan winning with Rhea Ripley interfering and it backfiring, causing Liv to win.
Possibly. Ran that promo on Monday Night Raw for a reason. Could she be out for revenge during this match? We shall see, as Nia Jax and Rhea also have a little bit of beef that has been going on for a while. We'll see how it goes. I would be surprised if Rhea wasn't there to cause trouble for Liv during this match, but we shall see as we get to the Men's Crown Jewel Championship match between Cody Rhodes and Gunther.
So I had been thinking Gunther this whole time was going to win this, but I just don't think that Goldberg thing was by accident. So I think Cody Rhodes wins thanks to Goldberg interference.
Very interesting. Goldberg has to get paid a nice big check. And
I don't see Goldberg having any issues going to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, absolutely not. To do what level of work, we shall see.
Right. Yeah.
Because we got to make it worth his while to fly out there. It's just not going to be there for one spot. It's got to be at least two or three spots.
I don't know. They tell them, hey, listen, we're going to fly you out to Saudi Arabia. We want you just to spear Gunther out of his shoes and cause Cody to win. You go stand in the tall with them in the ring. And then we're going to let you main event Saturday night's main event against them for the World Heavyweight Championship.
All right. I dig it. We'll see what happens. Like the scenario that you're painting very kindly. I'm intrigued by it. I do have Cody winning, though. It's got to be just gold everywhere for a belt we will only see once on this show and never again in life, most likely, until next year. And that is basically the card outside of Roman Reigns and the Usos versus the New Bloodline, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Jacob Fatu, and Solo Sikoa. I got the OG Bloodline. Sami Zayn's not coming back yet, even though that'd be a big Saudi pop if he showed up there for the family. But that reunion is coming down the road. But step one will be the OG Bloodline versus the New Bloodline. They will get the win on who? The only guy that can take the fall, my good friend, Tonga Loa.
He shouldn't. Hopefully he's not in the match. I got the New Bloodline winning. I think the numbers game catches up with them. And I think that's why they end up recruiting Sami Zayn. I think it just shows, like, everybody's like, man, we got to match the numbers. And I think that's what happened. So I got the New Bloodline getting the victory.
All right. I have the OG Bloodline winning and then shenanigans. Cinema. What happened at some point with another beatdown, and maybe Sami will make a cameo, but I still think it's a bit too soon as they're milking this thing, especially after he was talking to Solo during that parking lot conversation during the latter parts of Monday Night Raw. So a lot of story to be told there as we have gone through our Crown Jewel card preview for Saturday, November 2nd, going down at a special start time, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, on the West Coast, if you want brunch out west to start your day. Scott says, no, I will not be watching live, neither will I, but we will watch the show and talk about it later that evening and drop it for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, you'll get that sometime. Oh, I can tell you about that. You'll get that recording sometime. I'm going to tell you, the Saudi show is definitely not on the agenda as far as priority list, but it'll get watched. You'll definitely get the show.
Without question. And I'm glad that I'm paying for it. No, I'm not. I'm not paying for it. No, I'm a platinum member. I don't pay for Peacock anymore, thankfully. So that's a nice write-off for me every month. Thank you.
Xfinity. I think my my super subscription is running out soon. I hope a new cyber deal comes out soon.
Yes, so you can take advantage of 99 cents for a year.
I need it.
Yes, in your life ASAP. All right, with that, this is a wrap for The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. We want to thank you for joining us as we recapped a whole lot of stuff, including SmackDown, NXT Halloween Havoc, and of course, Monday Night Raw going down last night. The last real true blue show until Crown Jewel, even though SmackDown was taped in Brooklyn this past Friday night. But Scott, before we go, before you bid us adieu, you know what time it is. It's time for you to reveal your match of the week.
I'm gonna keep it real this week. No shade for Mr. Khan this week. He has a Jacksonville Jaguars, so I'm gonna just give him the week off because Lord knows. For me, it's gonna be I'm gonna give it to the ladies, man. I think the tag team match was special. Stephanie's special. And I think those two are going to be your show closing main event of NXT Stand and Deliver.
Big, bold move, and I'm not mad at it at all, and I would love to see it if it comes to pass. Look at Scott showing restraint. Look at him being nice and being respectful, not being a troll. I like the new you. I really do. Now,
I won't add any injury time to anything. You know, I'm going to let everything go. You know, no injury time added.
I like a fair man. I really do. Fair and concise. Do I trust you completely? Nope. But hey, in this moment, you're trying, and I appreciate that. But as always, I do want to thank you for joining me as we recap the week so far in WWE to get our listeners ready for Crown Jewel this Saturday afternoon on Peacock.
Yeah. And for those who don't watch, I ain't mad at you. You ain't gonna miss nothing. Nothing of note really big happens here. So we'll let you know what you miss.
Will do. And with that, we wish you a very, very great rest of the week. We'll be back sometime on Sunday morning recapping WWE Crown Jewel going down live in Saudi Arabia. So I'm glad you enjoyed this episode, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate it. Thank you for your support. And we'll be back sometime this weekend recapping Crown Jewel. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Until next time, take care and bye-bye.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.